One morning, Mr. Kamara turned up at my uncle's house in the Children Associated with the War, CAW, van. He had told me I had been chosen to go to the UN a few days before, but I had only told Mohammed about this, as I didn't actually believe that I was going to travel to New York City. It was before midday when Mr. Kamara arrived and my uncle had left for work. My aunt was in the kitchen. The look on her face told me that my uncle would learn about Mr. Kamara's visit. I knew then that I would have to tell my uncle about the trip. "Good morning," Mr. Kamara said, checking his watch to make sure it was still morning. "Good morning," I replied. "Are you ready to go to town and begin preparation for the trip?" he asked in English. Since Mr. Kamara had found out that I had been chosen to go to the UN, he had spoken only English to me. I said goodbye to my aunt and jumped in the van, and we took off to get me a passport. It seemed as if everyone in the city had decided to get passports that day, perhaps preparing to leave the country. Luckily, Mr. Kamara had made an appointment, so we didn't have to wait in line. At the counter, he presented my photo, the necessary forms, and the fee. A round-faced man carefully examined the documents and asked for my birth certificate. "You have to show me proof that you were born in this country," the man said. I became really upset and almost slapped the man, who insisted that I must present proof of birth in Sierra Leone, even after I told him that no one had a chance to assemble documents of that nature when the war reached them. He was naive about the reality I was trying to explain to him. Mr. Kamara pulled me aside and gently asked me to sit on a bench while he chatted with the man. Eventually, he demanded to see his boss. After hours of waiting, someone was able to dig up a copy of my birth certificate, and they told Mr. Kamara to come back for the passport in 4 days. "The first step is completed. Now we will have to get you the visa," Mr. Kamara said as we walked out of the passport office. I didn't reply because I was still upset, exhausted, and just wanted to go home. My uncle was home when I was dropped off that evening. When I greeted him, he had a smile on his face that said, "Tell me what is going on." I did. I told him that I was going to the United Nations in New York City and talk about the war, as it relates to children. My uncle didn't believe it. "People are always lying to others with such promises. Don't let them get your hopes up, my son," he said. Every morning before he left for work, he would say jokingly, "So what are we doing today in planning to go to America?" Mr. Kamara took me shopping. He bought me a suitcase and some clothes, mostly long-sleeve shirts, dress pants, and traditionally waxed, colorful cotton suits with intricate embroidery on the collars, sleeves, and hems of pants. I showed these things to my uncle, but still he didn't believe that I would be going on the trip. "Maybe they just want to give you a new look, a more African look, instead of those big pants you always wear," he joked. Sometimes, my uncle and I went for strolls after work. He would ask how I was doing. I always told him I was fine. He would put his long arms around me and pull me closer. I felt he knew that I wanted to tell him certain things but couldn't find the right words. I hadn't told him that whenever I went to the bush with my cousins to fetch firewood, my mind would begin to wander to the things I had seen and done in the past. Standing next to a tree with a red frozen sap on its bark would bring flashbacks of the many times we executed prisoners by tying them to trees and shooting them. Their blood stained the trees and never washed off, even during the rainy season. I hadn't told him that often. I was reminded of what I had missed by watching the daily activities of families, a child hugging his father, or holding two parents' hands, swinging over gutters. It made me wish I could go back to the beginning and change things. I had been told to meet a man by the name of Dr. Tamba at the American Embassy on Monday morning. As I walked to the embassy, I listened to the gradual awakening of the city. The call for prayer from the central mosque echoed throughout the city. Podapodas crowded the streets, their apprentices hanging on the open passenger doors and calling out the names of their destinations. Lomli Lomli or Congo Town. It was still too early when I arrived, but there was already a long line of people waiting outside the embassy gates. Their faces were sad and filled with uncertainty, as if they awaited some trial that would determine whether they would die or stay alive. I didn't know what to do, so I stood in line. After an hour or so, Dr. Tamba arrived with another boy and asked me to follow him. He looked like a dignified man, so I guess we didn't have to wait in line. The other boy, who was also a former child soldier, introduced himself. "My name is Ba. I am happy to be going on this journey with you," he said, shaking my hand. I thought about what my uncle's reply would be to him. "Don't let them get your hopes up, young man,"